Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to encourage you is the VFN Radio crew, the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one, the only, John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We're going to be talking to you about embracing weakness makes God's power perfect in your life, giving you the secrets to be able to really begin to ponder that. If you missed the first hour, you got to catch it. The love of God. I mean, God just came down in the studios. We began to talk about Him and His love. And listen, God loves you. You need to hear that. So many things were talked about, even the truth behind Roe versus Wade, how the one lady that was used for that case is now a Christian, and she's her whole story. She's going to talk to you there in the first hour. You can hear it. It's just so cool to get a God perspective, a light perspective of these dark times that we're facing. You're listening to VFN Radio, Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Give a shout-out to all of our new listeners out there. Give a shout-out to New York. Joanne, totally awesome. Bowlers for Jesus. May Gina, such an encourager, Gina. Kechara, my goodness, what a faithful, faithful ministry. Give a shout out down to South Florida. Patterson. Bronx. And Enterprise.
Bronx.
Give a shout out to the Bronx today. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hello, Bronx. Oh, my goodness. I remember when we were going through the Bronx, and, you know, you were, you know, escorting me around and showing me different things. And as trains were riding over our head, and I was trying not to trip on the – of course, I didn't wear my Florida shoes, and
no.
I put on tennis shoes when we went there. But it's just amazing how things so compacted there. I mean, it's like bam. I mean, just stuff and things and overlapping and overlays and loud. And but in the midst of that, you know, it's amazing. God's moving powerfully, and the presence of God up there in Bronx and Maria. Oh my goodness. Yes. I want to give a shout out to Toys R Us, Sophia and Maria. You guys are just such a light for the Lord, and they're just blessed. They're just blessed, and it's exciting. My goodness, here we are on Friday. It is Friday, and down south they call it Friday because they fry everything. Speaking of that, wouldn't some fried fish be good? Anyway.
Mullet, hush puppies, but let's keep it
going. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Anyway, they don't even know what that is in New York or Jersey. Do they know hush puppies?
Maria does now.
Maria knows now.
Oh, it's right. I remember her first hush puppy. That's the. You remember that? That's right. We took her for her first hush puppy. That was pretty cool. Let's don't talk about that scene right now. Oh my goodness. But you know, today or this yesterday and today, that North Korea is threatening to launch a missile, supposedly a nuclear missile. Mm. First, they were going to fire it off towards America, they're saying. And Hawaii is about as far as their missiles can reach, that's reported, according to the USA Today. Mm. And but now they changed their mind, and they're saying they want to fire it down into South Korea, which is you can reach South Korea because they're saying it's Korea.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's up with this new leader, which... He expects to be worshipped as God, by the way. I don't know if you guys know that or not.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He sets himself in place as a God. And he doesn't allow any kind of religions, anything other than the worship of him.
You know, he's about like 18, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
he's 18. Can you imagine?
Something like that.
Oh, we don't see goodness. That in America at all, do we?
No.
Boy leader?
No. I've never seen an 18-year-old expected to be worshipped. Have you? I've never seen that in America. Have you? Right. And this is serious stuff. It's just like, and it reminds me of the prophetic vision or dream that Deuteronomy's grandson had. Dmitri Dudem's grandson had about North Korea and Russia and possibly China. I don't know who it was, but they were in the room together, and they were making a covenant or whatever, say a deal, saying, why does the American dollar need to be the, you know, the IMF, the one fund that everybody has to use, the IMF, International Monetary Fund. And they didn't use those words, but that's what they're saying, because everything is based on the dollar. And look at what's happening right now. That vision's coming to pass this moment, you know, where the confidence in the dollar is dropping. And sad to say, our current leaders are just letting it happen. They're actually driving the machine that's taking our dollar to zero.
Yeah.
And even Germany, it's reported to Germany on the Blaze that they're requesting their gold. Yeah, we have their gold stored at Fort Knox, I guess, somewhere in America.
Really?
Yeah, they're requesting like 10% of their gold back. And they said, this is what America said, well, it'll take 7 years to deliver it.
What?
Can you imagine? By the way, that's what it's going to be like when you go to try to withdraw your money during a difficult time. I don't know if you remember, what was the Christmas movie that gets played over and over again, and the evil banker and...
Miracle on 34th Street?
Yeah, no. I don't know.
Christmas Carol?
No, it's Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
A Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
A Wonderful Life.
And he is a banker, a credit union basically. And everybody, they hear hard times hitting, so they all run to the bank. They run to the bank and they go, "We want our money. We want our money." And because they don't have money. They don't have the money.
No.
Because what banks do is when you get your money, they lend it out to people. They lend it out to people. And they make money on that. And then you can't just demand all your deposits back at once because the bank crashes. And so Jimmy Stewart steps up on the counter and he goes, no, he didn't. He didn't stutter. But he said, "Listen," and he started pointing at one. He says, "No, he has your money in his house." And he's pointing at this guy over here and he goes, "And she has your money in her business," and or whatever. He's pointing at people. He's like, "You know, you have each other's money. We're just the broker for your money. We're called a bank. We're like moving it from here and there. And you can't just demand. If America begins to demand their money, everything crashes." So I was talking to a bank recently, and I said, actually, I was talking to one of its employees, and I said, "Well, it's, you know, times are looking pretty interesting, aren't they?" And she says, "Yes, she's a leader in the bank industry, that particular stuff and company." And she says, "Yeah," I said, "well, I noticed that you raised fees on all your products." And she said, "Yeah, we're preparing for the economic crisis. We're getting ready and shifting. We're, you know, whatever, she's preparing for the economic crisis." And I said, "Well, do you think it's going to make it?" And she said, "Well, yeah." And then she stopped. She says, "No, the truth is we don't even know." We don't even know. And then another lady says, I said, "Well, they're going to come and get their money out." And she says, "Well, we're not going to let you get your money out."
Oh, wow.
Because they have a system set up. They're going to declare a bank holiday. That's how you do it. Yeah. They close the doors and give everybody time to calm down. Calm down. That's what they did in 1929. Calm down. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. And 24 hours later, the crash took place in America where people just lost just everything. And it was because of banks that overextended themselves. The Knickerbocker Bank in New York. And think about it. That was like, you know, change by then. We're overextended by $16 trillion, according to some figures. According to the IMF, we're overextended by $160 trillion, something like that.
That's when $1 million is really $1 million, right?
But think about it. Everything crashed with those pennies. Imagine what it's going to be like today if we don't get our house in order and begin to honor God and this whole thing. And some, you'll stand up and say, and you're not going to be happy when you find out the neighbor that you haven't been talking to actually has your money. That's how they bought their house.
Wow.
They borrowed the money from your bank, and they lent them the money for an interest rate. And part of that interest, they're paying you the money they're making. That's how they're paying you that money on your CDs, and they're paying you the money on your bank savings accounts and those type of things. And that's just how it works. That's how this whole, you know, we've learned in taking the citizenship test, remember, that our form of I don't know what the exact question was, but our form of government is our economy is a I gotta find out what the word was inside of there, but it is on confidence. It's on selling. It's on marketing. It's on doing business, selling and buying. That's not on other things. And in the context of that, that if we stop buying and selling, if we stop buying and selling, then it is, capitalism. capitalism.
That's when John got wrong.
No, is it? No, he's good now because he's the one that told me. But so capitalism, of course, is about, you know, somebody has an idea, you loan them money, they run with the idea, you own part of the company and these type of things, stocks and all that type of stuff. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. And if the economy dollar loses its value, people start running to take the dollars they have, and they want to immediately take the dollars and turn them into things like gold or silver or food or something that they can lock their value into. For example, if you had, you know, $30,000 and you felt like that tomorrow the market's going to drop out and then your $30,000 is going to be worth about $5,000, you can go out and buy a $30,000 car with that $30,000, and that car is worth $30,000 when the economy drops. I mean, you have a product that's something mm-hmm. tangible product versus the currency, which lost its value.
Right.
Or you can buy $100 worth of gold instead of $100 cash, and then when the economy crashes, you still have something of value, $100. And so I don't know what got us on this particular...
North Korea, Duterman's...
Yes. And it's coming to pass where they are devaluing, and our president is driving... By the way, it started under President George Bush. It all started in President George Bush and the economy aspect of it. And mm-hmm. I mean, Lord spoke to me very specifically when it happened and showed me that George Bush was actually at the wheel of the thing. Mm-hmm. But it got handed off to our current president, and he's taken it down. And of course, it was going to crash anyway under President Bush, what God showed me. I'm talking about what I've seen prophetically.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he was just holding on like a brave man riding the ship to its end. Yeah, she's breaking apart, Captain. She's mm-hmm. breaking apart.
Right.
And but so then the wheel of this aircraft called America was passed off to President Obama, and he grabbed a hold of a plane that was crashing.
Mm.
And it seems to me like he's going, "Woo, let's make the most of this puppy, you know, and just mm-hmm. print as much money as you can. If it's gonna go, let's shift this thing, let's transform this thing." And then when it hits, reboot back up with a new currency, maybe even the Amero. I don't know, but they talk about the Amero or Canada, America, and
Mexico.
South America, I guess. Is this Mexico or South America?
Mexico. Just those three.
Have to say, that'd be great, right? We just buy into the drug situation in Mexico down there.
Oh, my goodness.
But the thing is this, you know, put your when this stuff that's going on in North Korea is a sign. It's a sign to us that what God was telling us prophetically, it's happening. Mm. And don't put your trust in money. If you put your trust in your money, you understand that God's a jealous God, and his heart is hurt. His heart is hurt that you put your trust in your money and your job and your things and your stuff, acting like, you know, he wouldn't give you those things if you just loved him and put your trust in him, because he gave them to you.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, but you start putting your trust in those things, he'll actually end up taking them away from you and us.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to lose America.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, that's all I know is America.
Right? That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where are we going to go? We're going to go to Iraq. Yeah, and that pastor today, by the way, is on trial for his life. Mm. For his life, just because he started planting churches in Iran. It is just...
An American.
Yeah, American pastor. And we need to keep him in our prayers amongst all the persecuted church, you know, all over the world.
That's right. You know, I've so enjoyed just everything we've been sharing this week on the VFN radio program. And, you know, the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back, and we need to be ready.
Yes.
Mm. We need to be ready. And I was, you know, reading the Word and spending some time with God, and I was reading in Matthew 24 that, you know, no one knows the day or the hour. No one.
Even the ones that say they do.
Even the ones that say they do. And, you know, there's three things that we can definitely count on, that we can know that it's for sure. Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
Only the Father knows when.
Yes.
And we have to know, are we going to be ready?
Yes.
I mean, those are the three things that we have to really think about. You know, and the word says that he's going to come back in a twinkling of an eye when we least expect it. And we got to keep guard. We have to keep watch. And we have to be aware for his coming. And, you know, the Bible continues to share that, you know, it's just going to be just like in the days of Noah. You know, think about Noah's talking teaching and preaching and building an ark in front of everyone for the world to see, for people to see at that time, you know. And yet they kept marrying, they kept carrying on life like everything was fine. And people are either ignoring, either they don't know the truth because someone hasn't told them, or they're just simply ignoring the reality that the Lord's coming back. And we have to live in such a way that, you know, let me tell you something. He's coming. He can come at any moment. Yes. He can come today. He can come tomorrow. He can come 5 years. He can come 20 years
come
from now.
Come quickly, Lord, come.
And he warned us. He warned us about false prophets. He warned us about, you know, following all these different signs that are not of him. And we shouldn't really get into trying to, you know, give too much stock into dates and times. And, you know, they're good-natured people that are trying to do their best to understand the word. But let's just hang on God's word, okay?
Yes.
No man knows the day or the hour.
Yeah.
Let's just settle on that. Let's just settle on that. So that we can be ready. We can be ready. We talked about how much God loves us. Let me tell you something. That's going to be a sad, sad day. I think about those people that died in the flood during Noah's time. I mean, some of them were shocked. A great majority of them, when that door closed shut and they were banging on that ark, their nails were scraping against that you know, wood boat. Let us in, let us in. Let me tell you something. The day of salvation is today. You know, the opportunity to meet the Lord is right now. Don't put off tomorrow what you can, you know, do today. You know, I remember when I was in college, I had this weird, dumb idea, you know, imagining that could ever actually happen. But, you know, it did. It did. It was a weird, dumb idea in my mind. I thought that I would just go and live life and do what I wanted to do and party and just ignore God and put God in the back seat. And when I was ready, imagine that, when I was ready, I was going to turn my heart to him, you know. And I thought, you know, I know people that are Christians, you know, and my philosophy and that weird, dumb thought of mine was that, you know, when he is coming soon, I'm sure that the people of God will know, right, and they'll begin to tell everyone, and I'll just slip in through the back door. You know, hey, I'll get in right at that right time, and I had it figured out.
Like God wasn't watching everything you were doing and hearing everything you were thinking. Right?
Hello. Or
is
like
he merciful? Oh, my goodness.
Or like I wouldn't drop dead the next day.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I missed the opportunity while I was living this crazy life, you know? And you know, that's not good. That's not good. Today is the day. God loves us. His love is overwhelming. And, you know, his love was crucified. It was done on the cross for us. The question is, you know, as I heard someone say that your life right now is God's gift to you. But what you do with your life is your gift to God. You know, and God's loved us. He's blessed us. He died for all of our sins. What are we going to do with that love? Are we going to accept that love? Are we going to reject that love? Or are we going to say, God, you know, you're worthy of my heart. You're worthy of my life. And I want to be ready. I want to be ready when you come back. Because I don't know the day or the hour. And I just think that's a now word for us now. Yeah. Because, you know, it's not into, don't well, be listening to folks that they're giving you dates and times. It can happen any moment.
That's so good because what's about to happen. What's about to happen. And millions, supposedly, what others have heard and what I have seen, you know, I've seen a lot of death, you know, where God has shown me, but people have literally said millions. And then understand if you're in that number, it doesn't matter what you were going to think tomorrow. If that tragedy hits and all of a sudden your life is lost, that's it. You only get one chance, one life.
Would have, could have, should have, you know,
pointed once to die and then the judgment and then it happens. So you're so true. That's so true that make the choice now. You don't want to be scratching on the outside of the ark. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion, 900 million, yeah, a billion people now. 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFN TV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it. And what God's laid on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and yes, we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back. And those that are being led to the Lord, I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John in the Extra Hour. We have been doing really well in the citizenship test in regards to our learning of the citizenship test. I mean, to be honest, there's things that we just didn't know. You know, this helps us out. What's the name of the guy that wrote the book about building the brain? He's going to build a brain.
Oh, Ray Kurzweil?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of explains it really well, that by the time you're 20 years old, you already have learned everything that you're going to learn.
Mm.
And so that you can't, and in other words, you used up all the part of your brain that remembers things.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to unlearn some things to learn something new. And so this is the reason why we must have forgot this. We had to set aside the Constitution for a while so that we could learn other things. But that's something, the brain, mm-hmm. you know, works where you have to, by the time you're 20, you're pretty, and think about what we put in our brain by the time we're 20.
Not much.
You're right, right. But you used it up. Used it up.
Yeah, that little bit.
Yeah. What the Saints do? What they score?
Ooh, Lord.
But think about it. And so you have to unlearn. Maybe that's the reason why this stuff, I do have a vague memory of this.
You know? What?
A vague memory of this. But it's like, it's amazing. It's like, oh my goodness, it's all coming back to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you guys are doing so well. You're not going to have to self-deport or anything like that. But we're going to ask 5 questions from the U.S. citizenship test that we do as we're working our way through the 100 question test that you have to take if you want to be an American citizen. And I'm just so glad that they don't
call the class in of America and say, okay, you take this test, and if you don't pass it, score an 80 or better, you have to. We're going to send you out of the country. And the sad thing about this is the enemies of America probably know every answer to this,
yeah.
who live, the domestic enemies, and they are using it against the people who don't even know it,
mm-hmm.
who don't even know it. So when you're going to get a chance to think. So Pat and John, I'll give the test, I guess.
We can switch.
But I am learning. I am learning. Do you want to switch? Okay, never mind. you get a chance to think. You want to be able to take your time and just ponder it and just pray. Dear God, what's the answer? While you're thinking, of course, you're going to. Yes, right. That's thinking music. That is thinking music. Of course, once you give your final answer, then we'll stop and we'll listen, and all the world will lean forward to hear your correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you get it right, we're all going to just be applauding you, and it's going to be great. But if you get it wrong, okay, let's get started with the U.S. citizenship test. Question one for today, which is actually 66th question on the 100-question test, but question numero uno for El Deo. Okay, here it is. John. Okay.
Yes.
Pat? Okay. John.
Yes.
Question one from the U.S. citizenship test to see if you have to go to Iraq or Pakistan, as we talked about. Here's the question. When was the Constitution written? When was the Constitution written? John, here it is.
Yes.
Question one for today. From the U.S. citizenship test, to make sure that you don't have to self-deport. We're not going to force you, but we're just going to buy the ticket, and you got to pick it up, and you got to go.
Right? Okay.
But you're doing this on your own free will. It's called self-deporting. Here's the question. When was the U.S. Constitution written?
The Constitution was written when Thomas Jefferson wrote it.
Oh, that was lame.
Oh, my goodness.
In 1776.
Believe it or not, the Constitution, remember, 1776 was the Declaration of Independence, right?
Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, it's like those things kind of converge with you. And actually, how they do, they are the same founding father documents and all. But it actually was written, here's the question. Let me repeat the question. When was the Constitution written? It was written in 1787. The Constitution was written in 1787 because we declared our independence in 1776, and I believe there was a Continental Congress.
Mm-hmm.
They began to work this thing out or whatever, and then they had the question you had last time we were doing this. They had a constitutional convention.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I think it was almost 11 years later.
Yeah.
No need to rush everything. You think Congress, everyone to pass bills before they read it. It's like, they take time with
11
this.
Years.
Come on, guys.
Their founding fathers are rolling over in their grave to think that anybody passed a bill without reading it. That's amazing. Okay, question number two is going to Pat. Pat, here's the question for the U.S. citizenship test. Question two, which is your first question, is the Federalist Papers. This is from the U.S. citizenship test to be able to be a citizen of America. You've got to pass this. The Federalist Papers. Imagine that. I mean, think about it.
Mm.
It's like most Americans are going like, the Federalist what?
Ooh.
The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one of the writers in the Federalist Papers. Okay, here it is. Pat, this is a huge question, because I didn't know what the Federalist Papers were until maybe the last 3 years or something. I didn't know about it. I did not hear about this. Mm-hmm. Or I heard about it and it bounced off my ear. I don't know. But here it is. This is your question for the U.S. Citizenship Test. The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one, just one of its writers.
How about Alexander Hamilton?
Yay! That was good. Oh my goodness.
Little trivia here.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, my wife is actually related to him.
Really?
On her father's side.
He owes me some money.
Yeah. Really? On her father's side. Yeah.
Oh, the Henrys.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Question number three is going to John. John, here it is for the U.S. citizenship test. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Here it comes.
Come on.
We don't want you to have to deport. Here it is. What is one thing Benjamin Franklin is famous for? What is one thing that Benjamin Franklin is famous for? John, here it is. Your question for U.S. citizenship test is, what is one thing, just one, he's known for a lot, one thing Benjamin Franklin is famous for?
How about, it was a signer, Constitution?
Pat's wanting to steal it. Can you believe that? He's like, he's pointing at himself.
I'll
beat
him to it. He started the first fire department. How's that? Volunteer fire department. can someone take control of that?
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
He discovered electricity.
He did. Come on, he did.
He invented the light bulb.
No, he didn't.
What? That was Edison.
That wasn't Ben Frank. That was Edison.
That was Edison.
Well, obviously, there's a different answer. What is it?
Okay. Here it is. I'll help you
obviously
out.
Obviously, they left it out.
Wait a minute. They're so glad that I'm helping them out now. Here is the question. I'm just telling you what's on the test. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, they almost left some out.
Yeah, obviously you guys got real creative. Y'all came up with everything. Isn't he the one the Walt on water and the Red Sea's parted and all that stuff?
Yeah, he did a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and he played on the Saints. Didn't he play in the Saints? He was on the Saints team.
He
was like a center or so, a quarterback or something. So what is the question for the U.S. citizenship test? What is one thing Benjamin Franklin was famous for? He was a U.S. diplomat.
Yeah.
Or the oldest member of the Constitutional Convention. Or the first postmaster general. He's the one who started the post office. Isn't it interesting that a founding father started what's actually coming to an end now when things are kind of coming to a point?
Wow.
That the very thing he started, the post office is struggling now to be able to survive. He also started a writer for Poor Richard's Almanac. Wow. I mean, this is a real smart man.
Oh man, I saw his grave in the cemetery he was buried in Pennsylvania.
And
did a lot.
He's buried in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, he did a lot. I mean, I think he was a diplomat. I think he was pivotal in talking to the French during the whole time that the revolution was going on, trying to get their buy-in.
Yes, he was a diplomat. He would go over there, and he was just a willer and a diller, just trying to represent.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, in the last moments and some different things that I've learned about him. That, I mean, he's over there cutting some deals to be able to fund what's taking place over in America. And the interesting thing, too, is maybe those monies for bringing the Jews to America came through his work. You know, because the funding, remember the funding for the revolution came.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was over there cutting deals for all that to take place. And I don't know, but but it very well could have been. That's what a diplomat does. But he's just a very, very smart, smart man. But the U.S. Post Office is here today because of Benjamin Franklin starting it.
Did you know he's also friends with George Whitefield, one of the famous preachers? He'd give many times
I
his sermons.
I did. And George Whitefield was the one who, amongst others probably that were on the earth today, the one that we know of, that brought the truth of God's word and understanding that we're personally accountable to God. We're not collectively accountable. Mm-hmm. We're personally accountable to God.
Yeah.
I think about that.
Wow.
And he would, George Whitefield would preach so loud that you could hear him, you know, miles and miles away, or not miles away, but just.
But thousands would show up. Thousands,
yeah, thousands would show
up
and the whole crowd would hear. And that's where Benjamin Franklin would come down just to see if you could really hear him. And they built a friendship right there. Well, here is question number next. And it's going to Pat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. This is the next question on the U.S. citizenship test. This is what you have to pass to be a U.S. citizen. So when people raise their hands up and they swear an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies, foreign and domestic, they have this inside of them.
Wow, that's
which
huge.
Isn't it? It just gives you more of a respect and an honor for those that are willing to say they're excited about it.
Mm. Yeah,
and the ones
yeah.
that have been around, you know, we've taken it for granted. And we got to say, you know what? We need to be just like a person first day on the job. We're just excited to be here and grateful mm-hmm. to God to be able to be in such a nation like this. But here's the question to you, Pat. No pressure. From the U.S. citizenship test, who is considered the father of our country? Who is considered the father of our country? Oh, great. That's great. Very
wow.
quick. Okay, here's the question. The question is, on the U.S. citizenship test for America, is what is or who is considered the father of America?
That would be George Washington.
Whoa!
Whoa!
I mean, think about it. That the church, the church, as a church, we've left that very understanding. He wanted more applause.
Oh,
sometimes
geez.
You just don't think like he thinks. You don't realize he's really going, glory, glory, glory. You know?
Higher, higher, lift me higher.
Oh, stop.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. The I misinterpreted the sign language. No, the it's think not. About it. that we consider, and rightfully so, George Washington as the father of America, you know, as he fought for it and led it and all. The thing about it is how the church has left fathering. And we don't mm-hmm. say there's a father. The church predominantly doesn't say at large that there's a father. You know, mm-hmm. he says, we have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers, for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. Yeah. That's what Paul said when he was talking. Then he said, imitate me. Mm-hmm. Well, you think about this. He's the father of America. Let's imitate George Washington and his concepts for, you know, being the father. It's okay. He's the father of America, who, by the way, as soon as he swore in on his family Bible, he took it and went to church with that Bible and prayed even in church at that time with his church there where he was. And it's just amazing how far we've left from our roots right there. John, here's the last question for the day. It's from the U.S. citizenship test. It is for your citizenship. The ticket is purchased. It's laid on the counter. We will not force you to take it. You have to voluntarily pick it up, and it's to Iraq.
Right? Thanks.
No pressure. No pressure. And by the way, when you get there, you can plant new churches. Okay. All right. Question number next, last, is from the U.S. citizenship test. Man, it's so hard to say. Who was the first president? Who was the first president? Are you Googling? You know, things that we think about, oh, everybody knows that, but understand people coming from other countries, they don't know this yet. They have to find out where we came from and our roots, and they have to find out who was the first president.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is from the U.S. citizenship test. Whew, the citizenship test. Here it is. Who was the first president?
That would be George Washington.
Hey, oh my goodness. We are doing so well. We've moved all the way through so many questions, all up to 7. We have 30 left. We'll be doing those over a period of time wonderfully. We are learning our original intent, going back to our founding fathers. Lord, help us to retain what people gave their life for. and to remember our what it means to be a citizen of America. We'll be right back.
You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN-TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over a billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a dollar, for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know. That when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today, go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person to see. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting five people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're setting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Listen, John, I'm totally committed. I have planned out an entire fitness exercise program. I'm really going to do it.
Really?
Yeah. Next year, I am going to start this thing. You know, I said that last year, but next year I can visualize, getting to the place, you know, where Pat is. You know what I'm saying? I could get to that place. You know what I'm saying?
That is a lofty dream of yours.
Yeah, it's lofty dream.
High.
At least half the size. You know what I'm saying? At least half the size. But but I do have a goal next year. Next year, I'm telling you, I'm actually going to move everything off of the treadmill and look at the equipment and pray for a divine encounter.
Best of luck to you.
All right.
Yeah, there was some sort of basketball tournament that was going on in Brooklyn. And after the basketball tournament.
Tournament?
What?
Tournament?
Was it a
Tournament.
Oh my God!
Is it tournament?
It's happening.
Is it tournament?
What's happening? What happened?
Is it a tournament or tournament?
Are you trying to say I'm talking different?
No, I just tournament.
Just
go ahead. I'm sorry. You were talking about a tournament.
A tournament. But anyway, there was this basketball game.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. That is hilarious. Tournament. It's almost like U.S. shitty. Like, what's the disclosure happening to me? I don't know.
Lightning.
Ooh, hey, whoa.
That's brought up in the archives.
I focus, man. I focus when I say that word. Lightning.
Right. There you go.
I do. I have to focus because if not, I'll hear it from Pat.
Well, no, that was horrible when he did that to you.
It's horrible. Remember when he? Oh my goodness! He just dawned on me where I heard that. I remember.
Yes.
He was roasting me.
Yeah.
John started it though. I mean, he got up there on the stage, was waving his sign.
Remember that? Yeah. But think about it though. Think about this. He roasted me. I forgot to remember that now. He really deflected to you quickly. But I remember he had the longest oration up there. You know, it's amazing, you know, as these particular type of personality sits back and just quietly intakes all these things.
They're collecting information.
I was taking notes.
They can imitate. And speaking of that, Teresa has that same personality because I remember she was, she can do people good. You can do people good what's it called when you mimic them or whatever, I don't know, whatever horrific thing you were doing to me.
Impersonation.
Not like would ever do that to any of us. I mean, that's the travesty of this all.
Of course.
Right, Pat?
Of course. Yes. Most people just think it just, you know, I'm just learning from you guys how to do this.
Yeah.
Right. All right. We have video of you guys just roasted me like a duck. You know, it was bad. It was left my mind until it just started coming back when you reminded me. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, John put me up to it. I mean, yeah. I tried not to do it.
Wow, he looks so innocent the whole time's going.
I know, wasn't it?
Sitting right in my business. Yeah.
You see my glasses? I was like, never mind. For some reason, everybody brought me socks. I don't know what that was. It was more of the roasting thing or something. I don't know. Let's just move on. We have the evidence. It's on lockdown. It's on.
You got socks here, don't you?
It's online. Lockdown. It's online.
maybe we can just make that available.
Right. Well, actually, you know, we got together in the early part of this year, and I was sitting there. We had that picture of Steve picking John up on the island. I'm sitting here on a roadway. I'm stopped in the middle of the road, and I'm looking at my phone, thinking, should I share this picture or not? And I look over, and John pulls up right beside me and looks over, rolls his window down. I was like, how did he know what I was thinking? He knew what I was going
to
do.
Who he learned this from?
And then it dawned on me, he's like, he could send pictures out of me. So love others the way you want to be loved, right?
That's
like,
right.
So, I mean, I put that puppy away. We tucked it away and bring it out for future references.
Very soon.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, when you look back, and this is what we're told to do, is imitate those that have gone before us, and especially those who walked in bold faith. And you think about, you know, God is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. And so when you see Israel, you're hearing about Jacob. But understand this, Jacob, through the wisdom of God, understood the importance of vision. He understood it. He was in a dilemma because it appeared that he had gotten things the wrong way, even though ultimately he was the one that was supposed to have it. God makes sure that when he does something, no man gets credit for it. Everybody's going, well, maybe it's you. And he goes off and has to leave town, and he goes to work for his uncle. And his uncle is just very demanding, and he falls in love with his daughter, and he's going, man, I want to marry her, right, Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
And of course his father goes, okay, great, wonderful, work for me 7 years. Can you imagine telling an American that you work here for 7 years? I don't even live in a place for 7 years. Yeah. We move every five.
All right.
At least used to. And work here for 7 years, and then you can marry her. Can you imagine how loved a woman feels if you would have worked 7 years for her?
Wow.
7 years for her. Some man says, I've been working my whole life for her.
Yeah, right.
No, so he worked 7 years, and his boss, which is also his uncle, his name is Laban, he carries his daughter into the tent, and it's dark, it's nighttime and all that kind of stuff. And he says, there she is, she's right there for you. So he goes into this dark place, and he's so excited because in his heart and in his head, he's in love with Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes in the tent, and they have marital relations and all that type of stuff. But then the sun comes up. He looks over her, and he's going like, what are you doing in here? What's going on? You're not Rachel.
It was more like, what's happening with that eye?
She said, my name is Leah. My name is Leah. And Dad was worried that I wouldn't marry off, so he married me first to you. Goes on to him. He walks, I was just shocked. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I mean, like, think about it. Oh my goodness. We've got to invent electricity. Where's Benjamin Franklin? We need him. Right.
Right, exactly.
And so he goes and talks to his boss and his uncle, and he goes, dude, what's up? What have you done here? Because at that time, when you actually had sex with a lady, and a man, that would be becoming one. You're knowing each other. That's marriage. Mm-hmm. And it still is today. Just the world has changed the vocabularies, but understand that God's going to hold us accountable for those type of things. That's adultery, fornication, all that. So he says, oh, don't worry about it. Worry about it? I got this woman in my house. Don't worry about it. You can have Rachel, but you're going to need to work for me another 7 years. Mm. And he went ahead and took Leah and Rachel. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah. Where do you work? I work at Laban's place.
Yeah, right.
Meet my wife, Rachel. Hello. And Leah. Hey, how you doing? And anyway, so this is what he begins to say. You know, I have a vision for being out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to work somewhere else. I want to go back to my other land, but I'm going to need sheep. I'm going to need my own flock and all that. And he said, how about if because you have all these sheep here, how about if I get just the spotted and the speckled and the striped sheep? You know, you keep all the white ones and all that. Talking to his boss, and there wasn't hardly any at all, if any, striped, spotted, or speckled, because it was a good flock. And of course, Laban says, seeing that he doesn't obviously not going to have many, he's like, yeah, you can have that. You can have
the
that.
The deal, right? The
yeah,
deal.
This is, the deal, exactly, the deal.
Yeah.
And so then, understanding vision, understanding he knew where he wanted to go, he knew what he needed to get there, but now he had to show the vision to the sheep. This is how it works. You got to hold the vision in front of them, right? And keep holding it there. And so what he did was, since he wanted spotted, speckled, and striped sheep, he had these white, the regular sheep that would go down to this watering hole, and he took sticks. He took some sticks, and he carved them up to make them look visually like a spotted. One's a spotted one, one's a speckled one, one's a striped one. So every time the sheep would go to the church gathering, every time the sheep would go to the watering hole where the Holy Spirit's speaking to them, you're showing them the vision. Then, because he understood this, these sheep that were not spotted, speckled, or striped, they started giving birth to spotted, speckled, and striped sheep because he understood vision. I mean, there were so many spotted, speckled, and striped sheep that were birthed from these sheep that weren't spotted, speckled, and striped, and that don't happen, by the way. And with that, that Laban became jealous, like all this wealth, that's called wealth, this wealth that you've gotten here. And literally, when he left with great wealth because he had a vision. He had a vision. He knew how to put the vision up. As a matter of fact, he tells us very specifically in the Word of God, not he, but the Word of God tells us through the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. He says, listen, write down the vision. And make it plain on tablets. Okay, this stick's going to be spotted, this stick's going to be striped, and this one's going to be speckled. Write down the vision and make it plain on tablets so that a herald can run with it. If you're the only one that knows it, that's not a vision, that's an idea. It has to be other people can grab it and they can run with it. For the revelation or the vision awaits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end. That's what he wanted, right? He wanted spotted, speckled, striped sheep. He didn't have any. So he went ahead and wrote out the vision on the sticks, what he wanted. So that spoke how it was going to be in the end. That's how it became. So for the revelation awaits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it lingers, Jacob, that's going to take you 14 years to get through all this. Though it linger, wait for it will certainly come, and it will not delay. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that powerful?
Wow.
And it's like, when God begins to do something in your life and he's putting vision in front of you, and if you push, I don't want to, be, you push that away and push it away. It's like, this is a process. This is how things work. God shows us where he wants us to go. We begin to soak in the watering of his spirit and in the process of that bursts out of our life. What happens? The watering hole for us is the Holy Spirit. By the way, we are the sheep. He is our shepherd. Mm-hmm. We're not literal sheep. That's what he uses to describe us. And that's how vision works. He tells us very specifically in his word. So if you're ready to get out of Laban's workplace, if you're ready to get out of a Laban relationship, that if you're ready to get beyond Leah, then listen, go back and imitate those that have gone before us. Well, I want to talk about the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment today is coming from Proverbs 25:11. Proverbs 25:11. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Think about that. Proverbs 25:11, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Well, aptly, that word is coming from, it's like an appropriate word at an appropriate time. It's just the right word. I mean, there's nothing sweeter, more refreshing, more encouraging than when we need a word of wisdom or help or direction, and the Lord just speaks an appropriate word of knowledge or wisdom or prophecy over that situation. I mean, we can attest that God has called us to do things that we couldn't even imagine how to do those things without, and while we're seeking him, we just followed him. And as we did, he would just speak to us directly or through others and tell us what we needed to know at the time we needed to know. It was appropriate word at the appropriate time for us. And it carried us where we are today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's nothing bad. He says, listen, this is like golden apples in silver settings. I imagine a huge, that's worth about, I would guess around $1.2 million today, something, one apple would be worth that. And when you think about it, what with our, for example, the next step outbacks and with the father and son situation, you know, we had the word, we stepped out with the first word, which is Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. And we just went out and trusted God. And God would speak each step of the way. It was amazing. I mean, if somebody asked you to explain in the beginning what's going to happen, all you could do is just say, I don't know. Hold on. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And just walk in agreement with what God has given us. And it just ended up reaching the people around the world. People heard about it. And governors heard about it. And thousands were blessed. And today we're still seeing fruit from those experiences. But it started with a word. It started with a word. I think about, you know, when I'm looking at in regards to the church, when you're looking at the church across America, or you're looking at even Vine Fellowship Network, God speaks an appropriate word at an appropriate time, and all of a sudden a new church plant begins in Denver, or a new church plant begins in Pittsburgh, because the voice of God spoke it into existence. But yet, the second word is not yet spoken, maybe. The third word is not spoken yet. But you know what? Because he spoke the first word, you just keep walking, and all of a sudden he speaks the next one and the next one. Maybe he gave you a word of knowledge for a business or maybe a possible relationship. Don't think you have to know everything. An appropriate word, an appropriate season, an appropriate time is like golden apples setting in silver settings. But truly, it is like apples. It is like apples of gold setting in silver settings. These words are spoken to us directly or by someone who was with us or someone who God touched their heart to speak these things out, but it was the Lord all along. I want to encourage you to be a vessel of the one who speaks that word into someone's life at just the right time by beginning an abiding relationship with the Lord. Understand, when you're hanging out with God, he will drop things into your heart that you're going to share with somebody that day. And if you don't know how to abide, you can go to iabide.org. We got a plan for you right there. It's real simple to do. You know, many love to receive these golden apples. Many people love to receive these appropriate words at the appropriate time, prophecies, words of knowledge. But listen, but few desire to be the one to give them. And listen, we all need to be moving in this. We all, God's people, need to be giving those words out. Think about it. One word launched Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
One word launched Jacob. I'm going to call you Israel. One word, you think about it, just one word. I think about my spiritual father who's going to be with the Lord now, Brother Ken Summerall. One word launched him into where he ended up in the context of what's going on. Listen, and we're proof positive of those words. But so I just want to encourage you to be the ones who's going to live a life in such a way that you're ready to give those words to others. Because listen, you could be like a golden apple sitting in silver settings to somebody today if you would have spent time with God this morning. Wisdom moment for today is Proverbs 25:11. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.